Good evening, everyone. It's time to take charge of your life. Hello, this is marriage and family therapist Eleanor Barbaro, your host, inviting you to take charge of your life on WDIY. The theme of this program is that so many events in life happen to us over which we have no control. Our only control is our response to life's situations. It is often said that 90% of life's events happen to us, and 10% is what we make happen. Tonight, we talk about how everyone has pain and trauma in their lives, which they wish to bury. However, what happens when you keep your demons captive in secret? They destroy you. We have suffered the attack of emotions where we become overwhelmed because we don't know what to do with them. My guest this evening is Selena Belmars Pina, doctor of psychology, a clinician for 30 years, who is herself a survivor of sexual, emotional, and physical abuse and domestic violence. She dedicates her life's work to helping victims bridge their pain with their inner gifts in order to experience their purpose. It is Dr. Pina's clinical belief that our negative life exposures, once exposed, are the direct link to our life successes. What Dr. Pina offers us is an opportunity to rid our lives of these secrets for good. She provides us with a 5-key system for emotional transformation in her book, 5 Keys to Emotional Oneness. She blends storytelling with practical advice in helping us to detox our negative emotions. It is a pleasure to welcome Dr. Selena Pina to help us take charge of our lives on WDIY. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be on your show. Appreciate the call.
And tell me, how did you come to write this book? What prompted you?
Well, I was my family's from the islands of the Cape Verde Islands, which is located in West Africa, and I was there visiting and saw so much turmoil, emotional and mental health turmoil. And I thought that I should write something and leave something there so they could use for the population there. As I continue to think about that process, that I was informed that I probably need to write more than just a workbook. So I thought, well, you know, I've been through a whole lot in my life, and I've never checked in. I've really never checked in with myself. I just continue to continue to grow. And so after 30 years of doing this work, I thought maybe it was time for me to check in as well. So while writing this book, I decided I would include my life story to run through the keys of the book so that people could get an idea of how the keys would operate and in real life with a real-life situation and real-life story. So as I created that journey for myself, I created this book, and through this writing came up with amazing kinds of revelations and transformations for myself.
And what did
you... So it was a dual purpose. I'm sorry?
What did you learn from your life story? What were you yourself perhaps holding back on in your own life?
Well, you know, it's really interesting because we don't think about it. We just keep moving. And when you're in survival mode, when you're living in victim mode, you're just moving and you're not really holding on. You're not really embracing. You're not really understanding. You're not really able to lock into what it is. And I think what I really achieved through this was understanding some of the situations that occurred in my life. For instance, while I was writing the book, my father, as you probably read, was and my grandmother, his mother, were people who really brought me through a lot of my innateness of life and wanting to live and wanting to do the right things for them. It was all about love. So as I was writing the book and the piece of the book that I was writing about my stepmother and how my father allowed me, he took me in and told her she could go if she wanted to go because she didn't want to be there to raise me. And my father was always a very quiet man, and I never thought about, you know, I thought, well, okay, that was his obligation. He took me in because he didn't want me to get in trouble in the world, what have you. But through writing that book, I realized, oh, my gosh, he chose me over her. that was huge for me because I never had anyone choose me over anyone else during this period of my life. So that was a huge revelation for me, and it was such a restoration in me, in strengthening for me. And so going through the process of this book, I continue to realize different aspects of my life that I saw one way, but as I was opening up the portals of my soul, I was looking into vestibules of greatness and realizing that, wow, those are just lessons, and I've learned them, and that was really a gift.
Well, that is a very special gift because each of us has life's lessons that some of us don't examine and we leave buried. And what your book is an inspiration to have the courage to look and to reclaim our lives and to see the inspiration rather than the hurt that they may have caused us in the past. Is that what is that right?
Exactly. Yes, this is exactly true. And I mean, we live, I've been doing this work. I'm a trauma specialist. I've been doing this work and with no hesitation, because as I was going through my journey of life, had I not taken a look in? Now, I don't know how I did that through all the years I was living in the dark. I mean, I did. I lived in the dark as a victim for many, many, many years. And sometimes I look at some of my past stories and I go, ooh. I get a little like, oh, goodness, did I really do that? But I make myself look at it because I want to see the truth. I want the value out of that. And it's very true that we sometimes don't want to look at that stuff, but then it just consumes us and it reconditions us to being back. You know, let me just add this little piece. One night I was in bed sleeping, and I was having this dream, and the dream was this great dream. It's so vivid about being blocked, stopped, and flatlined. So I woke up in the middle of my sleep. Oh my goodness, maybe that's the name of my book. And then, but it's really the thread that runs through my book, because what happens is when we're looking at getting these visuals, we're looking at pieces of our lives, and they block us, they stop us, or they flatline us. So we have to get through those what I call them the emotional encryptors, because they're, and that encryptors is my own word. The encryptors are those behaviors that are exhibited through our ooh moments that we don't want to go forward. Or we go forward, they take hold of us, or they flatline us, and we can't move at all. So I talk a lot about that in my book, about the block, slop, and flatline. But also, there's the emotional feeders. And we have to look at the guilt and the blame and the shame and the fault, because sometimes they can become deceptors. And they become deceptors that create these encryptors in the behaviors that come in that we don't expect. They're just there, and we begin to do things that we don't understand. So we get those ooh moments. So yes, I mean it's been an incredible experience. I may have gone off track of your question a little bit, so you can bring me back on track, and that's okay.
Well, if you've just tuned in, you're listening to Take Charge of Your Life. This is your host, Elena Barbro, and this evening we're talking with Selena Belmar-Pina, who is a doctor of psychology, who's been a clinician for 30 years and is herself a survivor of sexual, emotional, and physical abuse, who's written this wonderful book called Five Keys to Emotional Oneness, The Emotional Detox System. And I must say, it is a very vivid and valuable book. One of the things that I caught or caught my attention was this a part of your book that says how emotions affect and change our body. And as I was looking over it, you have a chapter here called The Emotional Life of Our Organs, how our heart, the primary organ, is very sensitive to emotionally explosive emotions like hostility and anger. But the one that really got me was the lungs. And it said, and you say here that the lungs work with the heart and are as vulnerable to many of the same emotional conditions. Intense emotional material may create a constriction in the lungs, leading to respiratory conditions. And you know, it occurred to me that many years ago when my husband died, I was taken by surprise. He was a very young man. And somehow or other, after he died, I became very ill. Bronchial pneumonia, bronchial this, and coughing, asthmatic pneumonia. I landed in the hospital several times, and the doctor gave me many, many medications, which really did not agree with my system. They made me blow up in size, and it didn't have any effect on my breathing or my asthmatic or bronchial condition. And finally, I decide, and I didn't recognize that this was my way of grieving. This was my ache, my way of showing the loss that I felt. And
exactly.
it was my body's reaction. I may not have been processing it mentally, that how sad I was, but
exactly.
my body was taking over and processing it for me. And I landed in the hospital so many times with bronchial pneumonia, as I mentioned earlier, bronchial pneumonia, asthmatic pneumonia, and I just none of the medicines were helping.
Exactly. What's interesting about that, Eleanor, is that there's a trauma called conversion trauma. And conversion trauma is when you have these medical episodes that look medically inclined. However, they're psychologically inclined. So when you go to my daughter is a physician in California, and she's had a case like this as well. And so you go into to see your doctor, and they're like, there's nothing wrong with you, Eleanor. You're just having whatever, and nothing's working. The medications don't, because the medication can't fix something that's not medically inclined. So conversion trauma makes you look like you're medically ill, but it's really a psychological component.
That's an amazing thing, because what I did was I made it my business to get off the medication. I found a natural herbalist in our area in Easton, and I got off all medications, went on herbs and vitamins, and took care of myself differently. And guess what? I never had another episode. And when I went back to the doctor, he said, "Oh, your chest is very good, but I see him writing a prescription." I said, "Doctor, you just told me my chest was very good. You're writing a prescription." He said, all right, I respect you," and he tore it up.
Exactly.
Well, we're going to talk.
It's amazing. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
We're going to talk more with Dr. Selena Belmar-Pina on her wonderful book, Five Keys to Emotional Oneness, when we return to Take Charge of Your Life on WDIY.
The many choices and real voices on WDIY are made possible with support from our generous, sustaining members. An automatic monthly gift of $10 on your credit card is an easy way to become a WDIY member and support the programs you love. Set up your monthly sustaining membership gift today. Call 610-694-8100 extension 7 or visit wdiy.org. Thank you.
Welcome back to Take Charge of Your Life. Hello, this is Eleanor Bobro, your host. And this evening we're talking with Dr. Selena Belmar-Pina, who has been a clinician for 30 years and is herself a survivor of sexual, emotional, and physical abuse and domestic violence. And she has written a wonderful book that is called Five Keys to Emotional Oneness, The Emotional Detox System. So, Dr. Pina, what are some of the ways that we can detox our body and regain emotional oneness?
Well, you know, as in anything, there has to be a process. And so I created a process. And to be honest, Yona, I'm not even sure how I came up with these keys, because I got into a state of mind while writing this book that was so intense that I just continued to write. I really felt like God was writing this book with me, or just using my hands for his purposes. But going through the whole idea of having to reclaim my voice. And, you know, my story is about being an eight-year-old child. And when I started writing the book, I started looking through my eyes, my lens, as an eight-year-old. Because at 8 years old, I decided to quit school. And I sat in my mother's chair, a little flowered chair that she had in her bedroom, and looked at my school, which is right across the street, and did not move. At this point, I was probably stopped in my growth. My mom and dad, my mom had decided that she wanted to be divorced from my dad. And as you read in my book, my dad and I are very, very close. So at 8 years old, an A student, really well-liked, playful child, a great dancer. I used to dance with on stage as a young girl, like I was like Shirley Temple. And I stopped. Everything stopped. And so I looked through my eyes at 8 years old, and I said, I wonder what I was thinking. What was I thinking sitting in that chair looking at the kids going to school? And not, I just psychologically became dense, and there was nothing that could intrude upon me or to bring me out of that place. And then life just continued on that spectrum for me. So when I thought about the whole idea of how do I get a person through this, well, first I felt like we have to get through what it is that's in their head, what's in their soul, what's in their heart. And that's a cleansing. So we have to, as in any detox, you have to go through a cleansing. And so my cleansing is to bring forth all of the examples of your life that you can, you know, that you can formulate and put down and prioritize and think about how you're going to write this and start with the lesser one, move to the greater one, however you want to do that. But my book brings you through that. My book is really about telling your story. It's really about telling your story. And guess what? The uniqueness about this book is that as you're telling your story, you're writing your own book. Because for every story you tell in each key, you're writing a chapter of your book. So the book is about storytelling and visualization. And it's about also making sure you take care of yourself while you're doing it, doing a body scan, a little EMDR stuff in there. I'm trained in EMDR, but some minor EMDR things in there so that you're looking at your body, you're feeling your sensitivities, you're making sure that you're able to move forward. And I do support, ask that you go support. So let me give you an example of how I've used this system with, and then I'll go through the keys, how I've used this system with an elderly woman that I see. This is an elderly woman who doesn't speak any English. We do, my therapeutic office, I have a translator. We work with the Portuguese and Spanish and Cape Verdean populations, as well as the American population. This woman happens to be Spanish, and she wanted to leave something for her kids. She had been through a horrific life from the time she was born until her kids were grown. So we've taken each key, and we've brought it through her life. And for her mother's day, her birthday, I think when she turned 80, we created a book for her, and she gave it to her children. So each key she went through, she had a story to tell. And she had many stories to tell in many locations, and many of them were very traumatizing. So we went through the cleanse, and we brought out all the stories. We wrote them down. Brought out every character in her life, every person that had infiltrated or not infiltrated in a positive or negative way. And then the next key we went through was the restore key, which is the restore key is really my key of healing and forgiveness. But it's the strength key. It's the key that brings about emotional balance. But it's the strength key, because think about it. As I was going through my years, of all the abuses I went through. I mean, my story again, after I left 8 years old, sitting in the chair, I have no memory of fifth grade until ninth grade. I don't know how I made it, but God had given me a gift in my brain that was permanent. So I was able to use that to continue through my life. But I had to look at what kept me going. what kept me not becoming involved in things that would have been detrimental to me or taken me, really flatlined me. So I had to look, you have to look at what restores you. And what restored me was the love. Love is a powerful entity. Love is a powerful energy. It's a powerful frequency. And when we can have the ability to have received innate love, unconditional, consistent, pure in its sense, love, we can get through many things. So the love I received from my dad and my grandmother, his mother, was what my glue. And that's what always kept me reaching out of my darkness, seeking for some change, seeking how do I make my daddy happy? I used to call him Papa Bear. How do I make Papa Bear happy? Because Papa Bear was such a good Papa Bear. I loved my mother, too, but she was very sick, and all my life I had to take care of her because she was epileptic. And I would remove her off the floor and listen to her breathe all night, make sure she was having a seizure. So what was my restoration? And that was the love that I received. So through that love, I was able to look at all of the abuses I had gone through and found forgiveness in them. My stepmother, the man that I married to get away from my stepmother that I didn't know and didn't like, but he would beat me every day, drawing blood from my body. So it was that glue that kept me seeking. And in my head, I always knew that this would pass. The other glue that I held on to is because I come from a religious family. I always kept a hand in with God and with church. Not consistently, because I would go to church and leave church and do bad things, but I would go back and try to find forgiveness. So restoration is the key for forgiveness. The woman that I was writing her book, her papers, her journaling for her family, the 80-year-old, her glue was her mother. The need to take care and help her mother, who had 13 children, one after the other, and with so many other stories that went along with that, with deaths and losses and incredible, horrific things. But it was her mother was her glue who was consistent. Her mother was consistent in her life. And the consistency is what kept her glued to being consistent with her children and bringing them through all of the tragedies that they had undergone. The next key is clarity. Okay, clarity, you know, is the wisdom key. It's the key that I call, let me just go back for a second, because I also call, you know, we have to unlock. So my unlocking key is a cleanse key. That's when you're unlocking all of the stuff. My clarity key is the unveiling key. It's when you unveil, when you take off the mask and you're starting to look at things in clarity and you're starting to regain wisdom and understanding. It's the advent. So you, in clarity, you're now beginning to realize, that's when I was able to realize, oh my goodness, my father took me in. My father, who lived on Martha's Vineyard, where I live now, and I came from another community that was not liked by my stepmother. So my stepmother, who was always very cruel to me, but extraordinarily also cruel to my father. And believe it or not, in my forgiveness phase of restoration, I was able to get through her being cruel to me, and I forgave her for that. But I cannot get through her being cruel to my father, who was an amazing man. So through my clarity key, I was able to gain wisdom and see that my father did choose me, which was huge for me. Somebody really wanted me, and that was at 14 years old. Somebody really wanted me and kept me and wanted to give me a better way of life. That gave me more clarity. So in this woman's clarity, the 80-year-old woman who moved her children from Puerto Rico to New York, not knowing anyone or anything, her sister was there. Now, her sister had amazing psychological complications, and she was psychotic and was very abusive. And so she had to put up with that abuse to keep her family in Puerto Rico, to to get away from an abusive husband. And her clarity was that she needed to keep her kids safe. The consistency of her being a parent, which she had learned from her mother, which was her glue that kept her going through and getting more clarity about what she needed to do next as a survivor to keep her children safe.
And the next step you have is rejuvenation or rebirth. Is that which comes, I believe, from the fact that we, once we are able to find forgiveness, we also find wisdom, and we're able to rebirth ourselves into what we are capable of. Is that correct?
And that is correct. And the rebirthing is really the bridging your passions with your mishaps. So at 16 years old, as you read in my book, I was raped. By a stranger, because at 16, I was with people who were of the caliber that I should have been with, and they had alcohol, and I was trying it, but I couldn't go back home because I would get in trouble, and my father would hear about it, and oh my God, that would kill me. So one of the people that was there said, "I'll take you home with me, and you can sober up," and because I have my own apartment, I was 16, he must have been in his 20s, and he was a friend of my friend then. And then when you're better, I'll walk you home. Well, of course, in my stupor, I was like, okay, that's great. And I never had a boyfriend, so I was like, oh boy, I go with a guy. And he raped me, and I was knocked out. I have no memory of it, but he raped me. So God has a funny way of healing things. And what happened with me was I became a typical victim of rape, and I lost all of my values of myself. And nothing mattered, because now in my religious family, we were to save ourselves for our husband. And my mom had to bring the sheets from her bed to my father's mother to show that she was valuable for my father.
Now, Dr. Pina, I want to have people understand that your book is called 5 Keys to Emotional Oneness. And yes. I want to thank you for providing us with the steps to emotional healing, cleanse, restore, clarity, rejuvenation, and transformation, which makes us be the powerful people we can be. Thank you, Dr. Pina, for helping us and providing us with information to help us transform our lives into healing and forgiveness. Where can people find more information about your book, Dr. Pina?
Well, the book is on Amazon, and my website is drselinaoneness.com. It's in the process of being reconstructed, but it's open right now. And my email address is emotionalhealth@drselinaoneness.com. You can always request information from me there.
Thank you again for listening. Thank you, Neil Heaver, producer. See you all on the radio next Monday evening at 6:30 p.m. when I again invite you to take charge of your life on WDIY.